Welcome to Seagull Eagle, the only podcast where mutual respect lasts as long as a Wi-Fi connection at a coffee shop.
I'm Palace, he's Brighton, makes as much sense as a toaster in a swimming pool. In this week's episode,
we head out to Spain, where our on-the-ground reporter Gary gets VIP access to Brighton's training camp.
Meanwhile, Palace have decided it's time to lawyer up for a showdown with UEFA. And guess what? We get an email from an angry Forest fan.
We've also got another strange footballing rivalry, and this week it's gone international. Plus, we've got a fresh round of VAR.
And, as always, all the latest news, transfers and rumours from both clubs. This is Seagull Eagle.
Hello, Andy.
Neil, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah. The heat's maintained itself, which is nice. Getting out with my shorts. Legs are getting a little less whiter, which is always useful.
Ah, painful. Yeah, we're in another hot studio today, aren't we?
Yeah, it doesn't change.
But it's Sunday today, not Monday.
Yeah, we're a little earlier. We've got a busy week ahead of us this week, so we thought we'd get in today and get something out to you guys while we've got the opportunity to.
Given the fact that the majority of the news for both clubs normally happens on a Monday, we do apologise, everybody, that we're a day earlier, but we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's hope we're not scuppered by some amazing news suddenly on Monday when this podcast comes out.
Not much chance with that with Palace at the moment. To be fair, it's been a grim week of news for us. But we still found some for you to talk about. One of which, actually, Neil, is I've booked another day out.
Oh, God.
Right, so we've got...
Here we go, another one to do with the FA Cup, isn't it? I just know it.
Yeah. So we've got our Community Shield tickets.
Yes.
Booked our Crawley Town tickets for Friday, which is really, really exciting. And then I saw something else, actually, while I was booking some tickets online the other day. And the club are doing a really unique thing, actually, which is that they're allowing the season ticket holders first, and I think it's going on general sale shortly, to get some photo opportunities with the FA Cup whilst it's still in the stadium.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Which is pretty cool. So yeah, I've got me and the family, we're all going down there in a couple of weeks' time for some photo ops. And do you know what the best thing about it is? And it's a really nice touch, it's completely free.
Oh, right? Really?
And they're not even going to try and sell you a photo at the end of it. You get to take them yourself.
So that is nice.
It's just like, I think they're doing it in half an hour slots. You go in with a group and then you get your photos. You're not allowed to touch the cup though. And I've had a chat with my son about this. I'm like, do not touch it. But that is when do you ever get the opportunity?
Oh, no, I agree. That's really good. That's a really nice step from the club. That's a lovely idea.
Yeah, something to look forward to, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Annoyingly, that's actually a nice thing.
It is.
Well, look, we've got a few things to talk about this week, as always. And the last few weeks, we've probably started in the same place, so it makes no sense to change that. And I think we should talk about transfers that are confirmed.
Okay, well, listen, I've got so much to talk to you about, Neil. I think you should go first. Save mine for later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I reckon so too. Okay, so we've got confirmed transfers out. The exodus continues to reduce that squad size down. The first one that was confirmed this week was Jamie Mullins, which I'm not sure even many Brighton fans will know too much about. He was a midfielder, an Irish midfielder that we bought a couple of seasons ago. Been in the youth team, or the under-21s, under-23s as they call it. He played 46 appearances in Premier League 2, so he was very much part of our youth setup over the years. He's 20 years old now, but he's joined Wycombe Wanderers on a permanent deal, so we've actually moved him along. It was just never quite the level that obviously needed for Premier League, but certainly he's a very good midfielder, and from a Wycombe Wanderers perspective, the level that they're playing at, he'll be very good, I think.
It's quite a step down for him, though, bless him. Hopefully he'll be able to work his way back up.
That's the thing, isn't it? 20 years old, he's got plenty of time. He's still a professional footballer and he's got the opportunity to get loads of games under his belt. So good luck to Jamie. And the other one that I was going to mention as well, confirmed. So this is a very sort of normal process for Brighton and Hove Albion. They buy very young players from an international side. And this one is Yoon Doo Young, who's South Korean. Oh. He's 18 years old. We agreed a purchase for him about 6-7 months ago. He joined us in July officially, and we've sent him straight out on to loan at Rotterdam, Excelsior Rotterdam, on loan for the season. That's, you know, to get him some sort of good experience of European football, because obviously he's only just really come over to this neck of the woods. So gives him a full season in the very good Dutch league to start playing some European style football. Good luck to Yoon. I hope he does well. And he's just another one on that conveyor belt that, you know, a year out there and then we'll see how he's developing.
Nice.
And then last but not least, I'm going to call this one. It's not been confirmed, but everything I'm reading, it seems like as we're doing this pod on the Sunday, I've got a good feeling in the next couple of days it will be announced. And that's the big one really that we've been talking about the last few weeks, which is Evan Ferguson.
Ah, finally someone I know, because you've mentioned two players and two clubs and I didn't know either of the players and I only know one of the clubs. So where's he going? Anywhere I know?
Yes, you do know this one. So Evan Ferguson, it looks like the Roma move is going to happen.
Big money?
Well, so this is the only bit that's a little bit up in the air, but it looks like it's going to be a loan for the season, but with a buy option.
Okay.
And now the buy option is obviously the estimated amount that's going to be a little bit in the air. We're not sure yet what it's going to be contractually. There is the majority of people that I'm reading and the ones that I trust are saying that it's probably going to be around the 40 million euros amount, somewhere there. From a Roma perspective, they get a season on loan with him to see how he is, and then they'll have that buy option near the end of the season. So we'll have to see. It would surprise me if there's also, for that amount, it would surprise me if there's not maybe a sell-on clause as well or something like that, that they get a percentage for him. Because if he suddenly has the season that, you know, we all hope he's going to have, he actually turns into the striker that we expected him to be,
yeah,
then, you know, that's a snip in some respects. So we'll have to wait and see. Good luck to Evan. I really hope it works out for him. I you know, he's one of those players that he has had so much promise. He's fallen down the pecking order at Brighton, but I'm really hoping that if that does get confirmed, which I expect it to this week, that, yeah, he's on his way to Roma, and I'll be looking at Roma's results and scores very keenly.
Okay, so that's three more parking spaces you got back in your car park, haven't you? That's good. There you go.
I don't even know if they're old enough to drive, so...
You said it, not me, mate.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's good, though. You're still doing business, and it sounds to me like there's a plan, which is good.
There always is, thankfully, with Brighton. And yep, as I say, we're getting the ones out the door that we knew we had to. I'm expecting at least another three or four probably to leave yet as well to get that squad down to a manageable size for Fabian Hursler. So we'll have to wait and see. Palace, how many we got in this week?
None.
Oh dear.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm not expecting too much to really happen.
Yeah, but time's moving on, Andy. I appreciate the whole UEFA thing, but
yeah,
they've got to get somebody in soon. I mean, they've got what, one fullback in, one goalkeeper in.
Yeah. However, though, Neil.
Yeah.
No one's gone.
No, that's a good point, actually.
Right, so we're still stronger than we were when we started.
Yeah.
Look, Parrish had an interview with quite a famous podcast this week. It was Gary Lineker was interviewing him, and he did mention about the fact that Gary said to him, you know, are you expecting any outgoings? And he was like, yes, we are. You know, it's natural for people to want to move on and progress their careers. Sure. We won't stand in their way. Bit similar to what you said about some of you.
Today, we have two very special guests on our program. Introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Your players, yeah, which is they come to us with future ambitions and aspirations. We're not going to stand in their way, but it's got to make sense for both parties. So I think he's kind of set the way for the likes of potentially the Gays or the Eze's to move on.
Yeah.
But I think until we know, and he did say also, funny enough, something we've been discussing on the pod recently, which is, do you get someone in first before they go, or do you do it the other way around?
Yeah.
So I think, look, inevitably there will be some movement. I don't think that we've actually had any firm offers, even though all the tabloids are saying that we have. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we've had any firm offers for any of these big players anyway. So I think until someone actually puts some money on the table, I don't. All of these rumours that we've got going on, they're all based around replacing the existing players.
Sure.
Which is why I'm kind of thinking, until we know something's going to happen, I don't really think. But look, I think it's about squad depth. I think there will be a couple more coming in. I think that the club clearly have been distracted. The only one that was confirmed this week, but it's the mate, we Seagull Eagle exclusive. We confirmed it before it was confirmed on Monday last week.
I like this.
It was the Danny Imre one, the 21 year old right back. That happened a couple of hours after we came off air.
Nice.
So that is confirmed. But again, I mean, no one's really heard of him. Bless him. But yeah, he's gone out on loan to Huddersfield Town. That's been confirmed. So a couple of loans out, but yeah, nothing confirmed yet. But I'm not panicking quite yet.
No.
I think I'd be panicking if we had lost loads of people, Neil.
Yeah.
But technically, we're no worse off than we were to start off with.
I like your optimism, Andy. I really do.
Well, you've got to be optimistic, haven't you? You can't, you know, doommonger, I guess is probably the word.
Speaking of doommongers.
Yeah.
So we've had quite a lot of comments on socials this week.
Mate, have we?
Well, we've had good ones, and we've had some constructive feedback, I would put it as, if I was at work, probably.
More like destructive feedback. I mean, it's like, I mean, obviously, look, this podcast is reasonably new, right? What are we in, like 16 episodes
something
or something
like that,
now? And it's starting to get a little bit of momentum online and things like that, which is lovely, and we love it. It's the first week, I think, that I've left myself open to a bit of stick, which I haven't hated, and I'm all right about it. And it's made me laugh, to be fair.
Well, I mean, I think if you think about last episode, I think what it was obviously we chose editorially to have a proper long conversation last week about the Crystal Palace situation because of the decision from UEFA that actually happened.
Yep.
And we chose that moment to have a bit more of a discussion, let's say, on a serious level between you and I. It wasn't completely serious, obviously, because it ended off in a wonderful song from Andy. And
thank
if you haven't heard that, everyone, then I would definitely suggest you go back just so that you can relive the
experience, it endure,
one of them words. Like that. I don't want to listen to it again, put it that way. But it did cause the song, and the discussion did cause a lot of interaction with our listeners, which I love, to be honest. I really appreciate people getting in touch with us, first of all.
And I think it is why it's widened our net to a little bit further, which has potentially given us some engagement from some people that we might not have got.
True.
And it's been quite good fun. And I think one thing that a lot of you will know if you're on our socials is that myself and Neil, we kind of ad hoc reply. Whoever gets in first, basically, a reply is pretty much the situation. We've both got access to all the accounts. And we try to kind of reply from both perspectives, i.e. the Palace perspective and the Brighton perspective, on all of it. So it is kind of, you get both sides of it, but we always try to interact, right?
Well, right at the beginning of this podcast, you mentioned something about another communication we'd received. So go on, tell me.
Well, Seagull Eagle podcast, Brighton fans, Palace fans.
Mm-hmm.
You'd expect it to be an abundance when you log into our emails of Brighton and Palace fans. Don't get me wrong, we get a couple of emails in every now and again, every week. There was quite a few from Nottingham Forest fans this week, which I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, well, I think that's the problem, isn't it? You put stuff on Twitter and other places, it gets out, doesn't it?
Might have picked a fight that I didn't want here. anyway, so I thought that we should probably share this email
from
the Nottingham Forest fan, because what knowledge we have, we should share with everybody. So it's all out there.
I agree. I think we should. I think people should hear what we're getting from Nottingham Forest fans. And this particular one, I think you're absolutely right. I think this is perfect to share.
Yeah.
Go on, mate. Go for it.
Okay. Here we go. I warn you, it's not good reading this. They're not very complimentary to you, Neil, or me. Here we go. So the Whinging Palace Choir Boy, I think that's me, from Seagull Eagle podcast, and is South Coast sidekick.
Sidekick?
I'm assuming
I'm
that's
not even
you.
Main character. I'm a sidekick.
Well, I'm assuming it's because you didn't get your singing voice out.
Blimey. Okay, yeah, go on.
I somehow managed to hear your heartwarming musical tribute online this week, sarcasm, and not sure why, but I endured the whole thing. Endured, Neil. And then he got follows to say, precious time I will never get back. Skipping over the obvious questions, such as why and who thought this was a good idea, I wanted to email you to highlight my concerns. It's like a work email. Highlight my concerns about the Forest wrote a letter bit in your stupid song. This is escalating quite quickly now, isn't it? We did write a letter, as it says in your song, because as per the rules, which we stuck to, we noticed something that didn't seem right. Your Europa League dreams were in the hands of a guy who owns half of Brazil, bit of an overstatement there, and predictably wears a cowboy hat. Can't disagree with that one. Right? It seems that UEFA agree with us, which is a surprise to no one except Palace fans. They didn't make an example of you. They just made a decision based on fact and logic.
I can't argue with that one, to be fair.
I can, and I have, and I know, will continue.
We're not going
to.
Around that again. Carry on. What else does he say?
Well, he says, because you think the rules don't apply to you. He says, your demise is nothing to do with Forest. It's your own club's fault. And then it gets worse. He says, sarcasm, man, honestly.
Go on.
He says, should this email fall into the same black hole as the Europa League rulebook? There's no need to reply. We understand. Yours sincerely, Trevor.
Oh, he actually put a name.
I'm not sure if it's his real name.
No,
but
probably not.
Trevor, the Forest fan. And then he says, email received, Europa confirmed. Trevor is... Do you know what's really annoying, though? Trevor has sent that email in, and I bet you we don't listen to the podcast to find out that he's on it. And we've given him the airtime.
Oh, I hope he does. That's brilliant. Well done, Trevor.
Well, I shared that much to my own demise, but I figured the Brighton fans might want to hear
that. It really is, though, isn't it? It's really like emotive at the moment. Everyone is like chipping in wherever they can. I mean, Forest fans, Forest owner in particular, but the Forest generally are getting pelters from most people in football world at the moment. And I understand why. Not just the UEFA thing, but quite a few things. Even the Morgan Gibbs-White thing. You know, there's so much rumbling on at the moment.
He's controversial.
He's obviously got to his limit and decided he needs to send a strongly worded email to us. But thank you, Trevor, for that. I appreciate that.
Cheers, Trev.
It did make me laugh.
Yeah, I'm glad it made you laugh.
Look, I have to be honest, we probably don't want to go into this too much, but as we're talking about it, have you got any update? Is there anything you want to talk about UEFA-wise? Let's keep it really short and punchy, but is there anything that has happened this week?
I think it's important that we talk about it because the Palace fans kind of need to feel like they know what's going on, and I'm sure a lot of you already do because the information's out there, and I think the Brighton fans feel like this is your time to gloat and get a bit of entertainment from our demise.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
There's news to tell, then tell me,
exactly.
Please.
So, Willer, it's funny, actually, that Trevor has emailed in, because it seems that maybe... Oh, here we go again, Neil. Can of worms being opened.
Go on.
Forest didn't stick to the rules, by all accounts.
Oh, no, he's thrown another firework.
Seriously, this is what seems to have come out this week, and it's been widely reported by, I would say, the more reputable news sources, as well as your normal sources, Forest potentially haven't stuck to the rules, even though they've sent that email in or letter or whatever it was, in essence, dobbing us in and trying to get our place, which actually, in this Gary Lineker podcast that I listened to, and for the Palace fans, give it a listen, he confirmed that Forest did, in fact, send that letter in, and that he believed that there was something in that, which is interesting because I wasn't... Do you remember when we brought it up a few weeks ago and you said to me, do you think that's true? And I was like, oh, I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt because I was like, maybe they just emailed to find out whether they would be in if we didn't get in or what. Yeah. But it sounds to me like there's a bit more to this. So... Parish obviously confirmed this week that they are looking at legal action,
yeah,
right? and that they've started proceedings to the Court of Arbitration of Sport, otherwise known as CAS, right? So we all knew that would happen. What we have learned and what I've learned this week is that the outcome of that will be announced before the end of the month. They say that they've already issued the reasons to Crystal Palace now of why they got chucked out, in essence.
Yeah, they've got it all formally in writing now, haven't they, the decision? Yeah. So they've got something now they can use as a legal argument to work against. Yeah.
Yep, and Palace seems to think that they've got a very good legal argument on many fronts, actually, and they say that the appeal takes 10 days.
Okay.
So now
that's good, though, isn't it? That
we've got a time frame.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have everything done by the end of July. One way or the other, we're going to have a result. Okay, yep. That's good news.
And obviously, as I said earlier, in that same podcast, Gary Lineker asked Forrest if they played a part in this. And his answer, don't quote, because this is not a like-for-like quote.
Asked Parrish whether he thinks Forrest had a part to play. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's not a like-for-like quote, but it went along the lines of, we're led to believe they have played a part in this by writing to UEFA.
Yeah.
And he said something on the lines of, if there was no one to benefit from us losing our place, he believed that there wouldn't have been a case to answer. So that's kind of what he's being told is one of the reasons why it went down that route. Mm. And I don't know whether the chairman of a football club speaking to big media outlets and stuff like that would open that can of worms if there wasn't any substance in it. So he clearly feels, I mean, he's not an amateur, this guy, right? He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. It's a can of worms you've just opened there by saying
that.
Parrish said
The point being, though, Neil, which the reason why I brought it up was because the can of worms was already open.
Yeah, yeah.
But the worms were unconfirmed and unverified, right? Now we know from the club that they also believe there might be something in this. And there's another twist.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Because it looks as if, even though Marinakis, Forrest, right, says he adhered to that March the 1st deadline and supposedly and allegedly, yes, I did say allegedly, legal team, sent that letter in, right, it's been reported that they didn't actually put their stuff into a blind trust and transfer funds and all the other bits and pieces until April the 29th.
Oh, really?
Which I find quite interesting. And also, it's funny because all of this online protesting of innocence and why are you coming at us thing from Nottingham Forest has all of a sudden dwelled down since all of this has come out in the last couple of days. So Palace have now since demanded UEFA hand over all the correspondence between UEFA and Forest, because what Palace lawyers are now calling out is double standards, which is, you've now extended that deadline for them, but you said it was an immovable deadline for us, and they think that will help us on the CAS appeal. But Neil, it doesn't stop there, because there's one final more interesting twist.
Blimey.
Which is that there was another email. There's emails flying around here. But this time it was from the ECA. Have you heard of the ECA?
Is that the European Club Association?
It is, yes. Very good. Very good.
He's looking at me because he thinks I've came up with that myself. But no, you're right. I just read your script there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's on the notes. So the European Club Association, I'd never heard of these before until I kind of looked into this. But they effectively run European football with UEFA.
Okay.
Right? So they're kind of a body that runs it with UEFA.
Yeah, it's for the clubs, association of the clubs to use that concourse to have that discussion with UEFA. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there was an email that went out informing their clubs that UEFA would allow until May the 31st for those at risk to resolve any issues, implying, right, that the deadline was actually flexible. And this club went out to all of the ECA members.
Sure, sure.
With also further advice and further emails as to how to put their club shares into a blind trust should they need to do that. Right.
Right.
So now,
what's your point with this one, though? I don't really understand. Why has that got to do with
Palace? My point, Neil. I'm not appealing this.
Right.
The club are basically saying that this really strengthens our case. And there's a lot of legal experts out there that are now saying, hang on, this could be quite a significant thing to get us back into the Europa League. Because what in essence is UEFA was saying was, you missed that March the 3rd deadline. And that was the reason that they've given us. They're saying that even though we're saying we didn't have to do it, they're saying you did have to do it and you missed the deadline. Because you missed the deadline, you're out. And what this says is that that deadline was actually a movable beast, and that there was proper bodies that were saying that in an email that went out to clubs. And we've got that email, and that's part of our evidence for this appeal. So I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't seen it all. However, there is something in that, I believe. And there's a lot of big press outlets that seem to believe the same. So
Fair enough. Yeah. I won't argue.
Yeah. And the other thing is that what we were saying last week, which was about, you know, what are the FA going to do about this and what sway are they going to have?
Yeah.
They've written to UEFA now, supporting Palace's case.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is very interesting.
Well, that's good of them. I think they probably did need to do something. It might not mean much, but at least they've sided with Palace and tried to make their point, which is good. So that's good news as well.
So I guess the last thing we've got on this, Rich, which is basically that the Conference League playoff round, which ridiculously we're now involved in a playoff after getting the Europa League straight into the group stages. We're now qualifying to get into the lower competition. Ridiculous. The draw is on the 4th of August, right?
Right.
Okay. So we've got max 2 weeks to wait until all this ridiculousness is done. And I stick by my guns. And you, and I, honestly, Neil, last week, you wound me up, mate, right? And you said...
You're welcome.
You laughed at me when I said, we're going to get our place back,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
The Lyon fans are laughing when they won their appeal last week. And I promise you now, give it a couple of weeks. I'll be the one laughing now.
I would love it if we get our place back. Love it.
Well, yeah.
Well, we'll see, mate, won't we?
We will.
We'll definitely see. And by the sound of things, the good news is it looks like we've got a finite amount of time. So we've only got until the end of the month. One way or the other, we'll know everything by the time the 1st of August comes around. So that's good news.
Yeah, and hopefully we also know where we might be signing some players as well.
Right, that's enough talking about that. I think we just have to let it all happen. We'll be back talking about it. You know we will here on Seagull Eagle. But for now, we'll take a break and we'll see you in a little moment.
Welcome back, everybody. So, Neil, I'll tell you what I want to find out.
Go on.
In last week's episode,
yes,
I've had a few people ask me about this, actually, even Palace fans, because it was something that was a little bit out of the ordinary that was mentioned last week.
Yeah.
Gary,
our intrepid reporter.
Mate, I'm not a Brighton fan, and I couldn't care less, is the truth of the matter. However, I'm still a little bit excited about this, because this is something that... Obviously, I know a little bit more than the listeners right now, which you're about to find out. But last week, we talked about supplying Gary with the tools necessary to get the job done. We were talking about giving him a ladder to climb over the wall. We were talking about how we try and speak to some people to help him get in. And it turns out we didn't need to do any of that. That Gary's got contacts.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a bit of a scoop here on Seagull Eagle. So,
backstory.
Last week we were talking about the fact that Brighton have obviously gone to their warm weather training camp for pre-season in Marbella.
Marbs,
in Spain. My brother, Gary, lives in Spain now. He's retired over in Spain, getting a beautiful tan every day. And I was saying, oh, we'll try and get him down there and see if we can get him to have a spy on what's going on in the training camp.
And if I'm honest, Neil, I absolutely called BS on this, right? I was like, yeah, that's lovely. They're in the same country.
Yeah, were mocking me, weren't you?
But fair play to Gary. This man's got it going on. Tell him.
So, Seagulls Over Spain, which is the official supporters group for Brighton & Hove Albion in Spain, obviously. I went out to the club and said, look, is there any chance we could get an invite, come along and have a look? And Brighton & Hove Albion, in their wonderful way that they do, they agreed to it. And so, basically, the supporters spent the day on last Friday, the training camp with the Brighton players and some of the other guys there as well. Club even posted some great pics on their X account, and Seagull Eagle reposted those pictures as well, just to let everybody know what was going on. It's fantastic. So they got to spend the day there. And then what I thought I would do, Andy, is I would have a little chat with Gary about his day out, how it all went and what happened. So should we have a listen?
Go on, Gary.
Here we go. Hello, Gary. Welcome to Seagull Eagle. This is a bit of a strange thing, having my own brother on the Seagull Eagle podcast, but it's good to see you, mate.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I know you've been bigging me up on the pod, but Jesus. Yeah.
Intrepid reporter.
It's not going to be good. The hype far exceeds what you're going to get.
Can you just talk us through what actually happened on the day? Because I know you biked down, didn't you, on your motorbike all the way down to Marbella, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's... The thing is, I mean, we got the rumour that Brighton, I don't think it was well known. There was sort of hints that they were going to go to Spain for a training camp, possibly I'm a member of a Facebook group and a supporters group, officially sort of affiliated to the club, called Seagulls Over Spain. And big kudos to the organiser, Russ, who does a great job. And word got out, we were coming over. He was messaging the club saying, you know, can we come and watch, you know, supporters? And, you know, there's a lot of Brighton supporters who now expats live in Spain, and we'd like to come and, you know, view training perhaps, or just come and meet the players. And as it turned out, literally he got permission to come and watch training for members of Seagulls Over Spain, but literally like 48 hours before the training session. So as the name of the group suggests, Seagulls Over Spain, they are widely dispersed all around Spain.
And, yeah. So
as it turned out, and in some ways good for me and good for Derek and Barbara, who also came, it was only three of us. So it felt very sort of intimate and stuff.
That we were the very only ones exclusive, that wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, we had to be there by 10:30 on Friday down in Marbella,
right?
La Quinta Football Centre, very nice place. But so I left my house at 6 a.m. because it's a good 4 hours for me.
Wow.
On my motorbike, but I love riding my motorbike, so it wasn't a chore. Yeah, got there in time. So I turned up about 10:20, got let in and got changed out my biking gear into my sort of Brighton shirt and my shorts and flip-flops, you know, and very hot and humid, you know, by the coast. But then very quickly, Paul Barber come over.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know, it's like a bit surreal, you know, the chief executive, he sort of knew we were a supporters group and we were there and stuff. And so he come over, had a chat and welcomed us. And I said, all day, I said thank you to people because they made us feel special. But I said, you know, thanks for having us. And, you know, it was a privilege to be there. So sat down, Paul Barber, like I said, Paul Barber come over and then started watching training. And then slowly but surely, a succession of Brighton greats come over and introduced themselves and started talking to me.
So yeah, I saw some of the pictures that you had and things as well. And like, there were quite a few different people that came over. Who were the ones that you had a chat with?
Well, as much as I was trying to watch training, because you said, watch training, what's going on. But, you know, like I said, Paul Barber to start off with, he was there. And Glenn Murray come over. Oh, hello, I'm Glenn Murray. Oh, who are you?
Well, it's great that you spoke to Glenn Murray as well. I mean, even the other side of this podcast will be happy with that, so...
Although he did say, obviously, his greatest times were at Brighton. And,
I'm sure he did.
he can hardly remember being at Palace, to be fair. That's from the horse's mouth. And then, like I said, we're sitting there. The chairman come over, Tony Bloom, introduced himself. So then David Weir come over. And there was this surreal sort of half an hour where I'm sitting there, the chairman, who's sort of made your club what it is today, the chief executive also, you know, without the money, but to more or less has done the same.
Absolutely,
David Weir,
yeah.
You know, arguably your greatest striker ever, although I would argue Peter Ward was better, but Glenn Murray, you know, who loves Brighton more than Palace, he said to me on Friday. So you were distracted from watching the training to a certain extent because you're talking to these people that you see every week in, week out.
Yeah.
And, legends of the club. So,
when you had a natter with them, what did you talk about?
Well, all sorts, really.
Did you get any hints from Tony Bloom as to what the next step is in the transfer market?
No, to be fair.
Oh, I mean, Gary.
The thing for me, and that made us all feel special, they'd obviously taken a bit of time out to find out a bit about us.
Yeah.
And I turned up thinking I'm just going to sit in the corner, and I spoke to Derek and Barbara as well a little bit before. We just thought we're going to sit there and have the opportunity to watch training.
Yeah, yeah.
But to the fact that person after person, and also, you know, the big wigs, but also the media team and other people, Paul Camelin, who was the organiser, you know, Paul's been there for a long time, bit of an Albion legend in his own right. But he'd organised it all, but he made a special effort to come over and talk to us and knew a bit about us. So it was just, it made you feel very, very special, almost like you'd won a competition or you were a VIP, but we weren't. We were just like supporters that had supported for a long time. But, you know, I think we could have been any supporters that had just turned up, you know, and they made such a special effort to make us feel incredible. And that's what I'll take away from the whole day.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. It really does. And it is a credit to the club. You're quite right that they do things like that.
Absolutely.
And they take the time to understand who you are and they talk to you. And that's such a lovely feel. And I think at the end of the day as well, they gave you a little gift, didn't they?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I've got to go to my wardrobe and grab it.
Going, it's an audio podcast,
prepare.
Gary. No one's going to see it.
Well,
actually, do you know what? Carry on. I'll take the picture of it. It's fine.
So I didn't expect this. Paul Camelin brought this over to us. The media team, the players went in early, to be fair. They didn't expect it because they said, get shirt signed. But the media team went out of their way to get the shirt signed by as many players as they could. So,
wow, that's
absolutely
fantastic.
Oh, incredible. Yeah.
And like you say, like for the guys that are over in Spain that don't get that opportunity to come and see the games that often, that to give them that opportunity, to give you that opportunity to really see everyone, feel part of the club again, you know, that's a lovely feeling, isn't it? And
yeah,
I remember talking
to
you on Friday when you left, you sounded just so elated, so happy about what had happened.
Yeah, because what they did made me feel special.
That's wonderful.
Like I'm valued, yeah. But at the same time, I've done the donkey work to a certain extent.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
I didn't tell them. It wasn't a criteria for them being nice to me, you know. I was at Hereford.
Yeah,
at the two cup finals. I was at the playoffs, you know.
Well, that's the thing.
They didn't
ask
that as a entry requirement. They were just nice to me, you know, or nice to us.
I think that's what's important, the fact that, you know, you've been a fan for longer than me, obviously, as you're my older brother, and you've been mm-hmm. big part of the big parts and the horrible bits as well, like we all have, through the whole journey. And it's lovely to be able to give you an opportunity to get back in touch with the club in that sense as well. That's lovely. Can I ask you a couple of general questions?
Far away.
What do you think of Fabian Hertzler's first season? How did you think it went?
I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush. There were times, you know, the Forest defeat, and I thought he was a bit, I don't know, it's difficult. You hear, you know, what you see on social media, some of his team speeches I perhaps thought were a little bit uninspiring, but I'm sort of, you know, I'm nearly 60, I'm old school, you know, I want
fire and brimstone. Yeah,
I want the, you know, I sort of like, I'm a bit old school like that, you know, when things aren't going right. So there were times where I thought, and I'm not, you know, we've got a WhatsApp group, so I think we all sort of voiced it a little bit, didn't we? You know, as he lost the dressing room. But to be fair, you know, after the Forest defeat, the knee-jerk reaction, we all sort of proved wrong because they bounced back fantastically. And then the finish to the season was incredible. And seeing him Friday, you know, I didn't get a massive idea of what he was about. But at the same time, I think the players are with him. I genuinely do.
Yeah,
he's a young guy. It's a very, very young squad. When you see the sort of Venn diagram of how young the squad is, I mean, you know, it's incredible. So I think you could see enough to be excited about what's coming.
Well,
you know,
speaking of
season.
What's coming, yeah, what do you think? What's your expectations? What were you hoping for this season?
Yeah, I think we've got a really good chance. If we can perform...
A chance of what?
Perform, a chance of Europe and a good Europe, because I think there's teams like Forest, teams like Palace, you know, there's a lot of teams who've got Europe. And I think the way we've strengthened and our squad, and we showed last year, you know, we finished so strongly. And when we played, we really played.
Mm.
Obviously, the young players are only going to get better and stronger.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go out on a limb. I think top five, top six,
realistically. Okay, cool.
I do. Because I think we'll surprise people and shock people. I genuinely do. I might be wrong. Might be bottom by Christmas. Hertzler's out on his ass, but yeah, I've got a good feeling. I really have got a good feeling.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Gary. Thanks for joining us on Seagull Legal. Really appreciate it. And enjoy your beer.
No worries. Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers.
Bye.
So there you go. That was good, wasn't it?
I'll tell you what. Do you know what my favourite bit of all that was?
Go on.
That he met an absolute Eagle legend.
Yes.
Glenn Murray.
Yeah, it's a strange one, the Glenn Murray, isn't
it?
He's a bit of a ledge for both of us. So it's lovely that. And, you know, Tony Bloom as well, Paul Barber. The fact that they all went over and talked to them, spent time with them. I just was so impressed. And so was he. Obviously, you could hear that in his voice. And just a fantastic day for them. And I think it just echoes what a great club Brighton of Albion is, and we take the Mickey out of each other sometimes for these clubs, but they understand community, both clubs.
And it's brilliant.
And it's great, you know, to do something like that for people that maybe don't get to go and see Brighton play as often as they want, to have that opportunity. Just, yeah, fantastic. And lovely little story. So, yeah, Gary came good.
I'm so impressed, Gary. Well done, Gary. And do you know what? You sent me the video. He sent like a video message
when he was there
the other day.
Yeah,
and he forwarded it on to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking. He sounded like a kid on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And he was like, they've let me in. I feel like a VIP. They've given me a free shirt. I've got like, I've had the best time. but I can't film anything because I'm going to get in trouble. But yep. I'll talk to you about it all later. And he's literally gone off grid. He went off grid for like 3 days, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he's just having the best time. And then obviously we've managed to get a report out of him at the end of it. Fair play, Gary. I think we're going to have to send him out. Out and around, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I was wondering that, actually. So Gary's family, so his wife's family, guess who they support?
Palace? No way.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
So he feels the pain as much as me in that sense.
That's
so
brilliant.
Yeah, so I'm wondering whether I could talk him into, if Palace get a European tie somewhere in Spain, we could send him over there.
Let's do it.
No, I'm joking, mate. There's no chance he'd do that. He'd rather cut his leg off, if I'm honest. So.
Oh, Gary.
You got more excited then, Andy. No,
can I ask now, just to kind of to keep things fair and on a level playing field here, Palace are heading out to Austria, I believe, Saturday, Sunday next week. So anyone over in Austria that's listening to the podcast,
yes,
get in contact with us. Again, the offer's still there. We'll provide you with a ladder, all the tools you need.
Absolutely. You can have a live interview with us for next week's episode. So yeah, absolutely. Get in touch with us if you're in Austria having a listen and you want to be our on-site reporter. That would be amazing.
I mean, I would go myself, but a bit busy. But it'd be really good if someone could go for us. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Gary. Nice one.
There are other things I wanted to talk about as well that are Brighton related. Would you forgive me for a moment?
Mate, do it. Okay. Cool. Who have you signed now?
No signings. No. Okay. We had a friendly this week.
Oh, was that the one in Spain?
Do you remember? Yeah. Can they do it on a sunny Stoke night in Marbella?
Oh, it's ridiculous playing Stoke in Marbella.
Crazy, wasn't it? So yeah, they had a friendly last Wednesday against Stoke. The score ended up with 3-1 to Brighton. And again, they did the similar thing they did the previous one, which is very common for pre-season, where they played 1-11 in the first half and then a different 11 in the second. We had goals from Karu Matoma, our debutant Diogo Coppola.
Oh, he's the new guy.
Yeah, he scored with a header. And right at the end of the game, Jorginho Rutter scored as well. Yeah, fantastic. It was really good to watch. They had it live on the Albion TV, which was really good. As I said, debut for Diogo Coppola. He looks like a unit. He really does. He's a big boy, that guy. And it was a really good run out, I think, for the 2-11s. The second half in particular, I just want to point out, because the second half team, I don't know what happened, but the level went up in the second half and there was so much more pressing and energy and all that sort of thing. So from a point of view of the two teams, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. The first half 11 was pretty much everyone that played during the last couple of friendlies. So Veltman, Hinshelwood, Belaba, Van Heck, Steele in goal, Welbeck, Matoma, Ayari, quite close to a first team that we would have expected to see last season. And then the second half, Carl Rushworth went back in goal. Webster, Coppola, as I was saying. Charlie Tasker, who's a young lad, who's a fullback, who's got a very good future. And then we got to see a midfield duo of James Milner and Yalcui.
Can't believe he's still going.
I know, he's amazing. He looks fit as a fiddle as well. And Malik Yalcui as well, who is the young kiddie that I'm really excited about. I'm hoping he's going to stay. He played really well in midfield, so we'll have to see him. Buenanotte, Gomez as well was on there. Kaelin Vickers, who is a young kid who we've signed a couple of seasons ago, who hasn't had a chance in the first team. He's been in and around the squad as well this summer, so it looks like he might get a little bit of a look in. We'll have to wait and see. So it was just a really good game to watch. It was nice to see my team. You know, like you just get a bit of a withdrawal symptoms over the summer, but it was nice to watch the game.
Did you watch it online then?
Yeah.
So did you see Gary waving in the back?
Different day. He wasn't there that day.
Okay.
So, no, it was a really good game and really enjoyable for a pre-season game anyway.
Good.
Brighton have got one more fixture in Spain. They play Monday night. So probably by the time this goes out, they probably would have just finished their game. They got that Las Palmas game that I talked about on Monday night. So we'll have to talk about that next week.
A bigger test than Stoke?
No, I definitely would say of similar, different qualities, obviously. But no, Las Palmas are a La Liga 2 side as well. So similar sort of level, I would argue. Possibly Stoke stronger in some respects. Palace. We don't have any friendlies this week, do you? I don't think.
No. We
You've
obviously
got come up, though, haven't you?
We had our Millwall game, which we spoke about last week. Obviously, all the players are back now. All the internationals have now returned. And there's quite a lot of footage coming out of the training grounds, which is great. So right. There was a few kind of question marks about where was Eze and a few of the other internationals. That's been quashed by the club by spamming the socials on Eze, doing some wonderful tricks and taking it around the keeper and all sorts of stuff.
I did see a few comments on there as well. That everyone's trying to read everything into any picture of Eze as much as possible, yeah. isn't it? So hoping yeah. that he stays, obviously.
Well, and also no bids currently come in for him, mm-hmm. Which is interesting. So yes, everyone's back in training. And obviously the next friendly that we've got is Friday night. So this Friday coming at Crawley Town. And all yes. the tickets have now gone. Me and the family are going down there, hopefully, on Friday night. And we can't wait, actually, because that's normally, for the last 2 years, that's the first friendly game that they play, which is a full 90 minutes
right, yeah.
with what they would class as their, you know, at least half of it will be the full first team and
absolutely.
They'll kind of
yeah,
give
yeah,
some
yeah.
people a chance. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. And it's the first time I would have been there under the lights as well, which is going to
cool.
be interesting. And then, of course, as I said, we're off to Austria over the next weekend
okay.
with games on Tuesday 29th and Friday the 1st. So I won't try and read the name of the clubs out again because you can rewind back to last week's where that was quite a struggle for me. But yeah, we're looking forward to that.
Okay, so we can talk about that more next week then, can't we? You can give us a little bit of a match report on those.
Absolutely.
Oh, we're looking forward to it.
I feel
mate.
Like Gary set the standard now. I feel like I need to go and kind of get an interview or yeah. something at Crawley.
Raise that level, mate.
Let me see what I can do.
As there isn't a lot to talk about from a Palace point of view, mate, I did decide to do something... bring back something from previous pods.
Ooh.
I think it's time for this.
VAR.
Who are you?
This is the part of the show where we throw subtlety out of the window and test your footballing brain power.
Yes.
So, Andy, I've got 5 clues about a mystery player. But unlike real VAR... there's no screen, no delays, and definitely no referee to bail you out. Just you, your instincts, and a race against shame.
Yeah.
Here's the twist. The clues start off vague, Sunday League level stuff, and then get more revealing as we go. So, by the time we're at clue 5, even your nan should be shouting the answer. It's Andy's turn this week, everyone.
Ooh, Palace player.
Yeah, we're looking for a Crystal Palace player from the mystery clues. Are you ready, mate?
Yes. And obviously, we changed the rules a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah, so that's
that
right. Good point.
Because we had a couple of annoyed people that were trying to play along at home and then we got it early.
Yeah.
So I will write down my answer.
Have you got? Yeah. Does that pen work?
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Here we go then. So as soon as you've written it down, I want you to fold it over, leave it on the side. Okay. If you think you get it at any point, let me know. All right?
Exam conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Because I want to make sure that I'm better at this than you. So... Okay, everyone, here we go. Fact number 1. Born on the 17th of April, 1995. And, I'm going to give you 2 for 1 here, is 6'1". Not when he was born, by the way.
That would have been painful.
That would have been really
crikey.
Bad. And probably pretty obvious who it was. So no, at this moment in time, he's 6'1", but he was born on the 17th of April, 1995. So can you work out the age from that one? Have you got that one?
Okay, so no nationality yet. So we don't know where he's from. So that makes it, my maths is well good, Neil. So that makes him 30.
Well done.
So I'm now thinking of how many 30-year-olds that are 6'1" in the squad.
Quite a few, probably.
Yeah, there's a few. Let's move on.
Okay. Fact number 2. Was a scholar at Derby County... and made his breakthrough to the first team in 2012 season, getting 22 appearances for the England under-21s. So there you go.
Okay.
Do you want me to say that again?
Yeah,
so he was a scholar at Derby County, and he made his breakthrough to the first team in the 2012 season, getting 22 appearances also for the England under-21s.
Okay, I've got an idea now. I think if you're looking at English players,
well, that
there's
would be
not
useful.
That. Well, there's not that many of them, right? More so than what you've got.
Wow.
But
in under-21s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's young, though, does it? Because obviously he's 30. So he's 30,
but
and he played
people,
for the England under-21s.
A lot of people change nationality once they get to the senior level.
Look at you adding curveballs in.
just trying to make sure that you don't get it.
No, let me just think, because obviously, like English players, English older players, you got Klein, but I'm pretty sure Klein's older than 30. In fact, I know he is. Holding, I've forgotten he even played for the club, let alone know how old he is or where he started. So could be Holding if you've gone well curveball. you got Matthews, the backup goalkeeper. Obviously, Nketiah definitely played for the England under-21s, and Will Hughes. But I don't know whether it
Come on, I've got to move you on.
I don't know whether it is Hughes, because I don't...
Are you going to write something down or not?
I think he's short. No, I'm going for clue three.
Okay.
Go on.
Moved to Watford in 2017. Was part of the Watford team that got promoted, relegated and promoted again, and helped them reach the FA Cup final in 2019. Andy has settled back in his...
right.
Sat back in his seat with resignation, because he's... I think you suddenly realised who it is, haven't you?
Yeah, I know it is now. I've written down the answer and I'm kicking myself, actually, because I feel like there was a curveball in there, but we'll carry on.
Okay. So for everyone else, or for whoever thinks they've got it right, you can sit back and relax. But for everyone else... Clue number four, he joined Crystal Palace in 2021. And then clue number five, known for his aggressive pressing play and his very, very blonde hair.
Yeah, if you haven't got it from that, Palace fans, crikey.
So, yeah, I think we probably know what the answer is now. But Andy, can you open your... Yeah, that's it. Yes, well done.
Will Hughes.
Will Hughes, everyone. Yeah.
Now, the curveball there for me...
Yeah, what was that?
Well, I've met him a few times.
Right. So should I put that down?
Well, the reason that
Clue
I...
Clue three, you've met him, Andy.
No. The reason that I'd say this is because I look at him when he's on the pitch, and I see him as a very small man.
Right, so the 6 foot one inch thing.
I still wouldn't say 6 foot one. Which would be interesting. And
it's a good point,
we might need to fact check that. But I think, 6 foot one, that's the bit that kind of pushed me off on question number two. But as soon as you said Watford, I'll be honest, I didn't know he came from Derby. I didn't know that was a thing. I really only got to know him when he was at Watford.
Yeah.
And just the guy's a legend. And he keeps me on the edge of my seat because I'm just constantly thinking he's going to get sent off. Me and the other 25,000 people around me every week are like, don't go in for that. He's gone in for it. Ah! But I love the guy. No one tries and works harder than him. He's a legend.
That was VAR.
VAR.
Who are you?
Right then. So... another thing we want to talk about this week is transfer rumours. So we'll talk about that right at the end of the show, as always. That's where we normally put it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before we do that, it's now time for our part three, I suppose, third episode of Strange Footballing Rivalries.
Yes, Neil.
You like these, don't you?
Right, who's kicking off now?
Well, this week I thought we'd go a little bit international, and it's something that maybe... I don't know, maybe older people will think about it more as a rivalry. Younger people may not see it so much, but are you ready?
Ooh, go on, Neil.
Here we go.
England, Argentina. To truly understand this long rivalry, we have to go back to the summer of 1966.
And here comes Hurst. He's got some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over.
Wait a minute. We all know how that tournament finished, but it was also where this rivalry begins. In a quarter-final match held at Wembley Stadium on the 23rd of July. The game was close and a very dirty affair, with Geoff Hurst scoring the only goal of the game to put England through to the semi-finals. However, the goal wasn't the biggest talking point. In the second half, and having been sent off for violence of the tongue, Argentine captain Antonio Ratin refused to leave the Wembley pitch and had to be escorted away by police. He went on to further show disgust at the decision by sitting on the red carpet reserved for the Queen. The match continued, and the Argentine players also continued to kick and foul the English. At the final whistle, the then England manager Sir Alf Ramsey was so incensed by the opponent's tactics, he stopped his players exchanging shirts, even going as far as calling them animals in his post-match interviews. This enraged the already annoyed Argentine public even more, so the rivalry was set. 20 years later, and in another World Cup quarter-final, the two met again. This time, with tensions between Argentina and the UK heightened by the 1982 Falklands War, a battle caused by Argentine forces invading a remote British colony in the South Atlantic. In the fighting that followed, 655 Argentine and 255 British servicemen lost their lives. By the time the game in 1986 came around, the relationship between the two countries was still very strained. The game itself was to go into the history books for two very different goals scored by one very brilliant player, Diego Armando Maradona. One goal was the goal of the century, but the other was the infamous hand of God. Maradona beating Peter Shilton to a high ball, punching it into the net. This time, it was the England fans who would feel the injustice. Argentina would go on to win the World Cup, and Maradona would continue his journey to greatness, albeit with a divine helping hand. In 1998, the two enemies met once more in the World Cup, this time in France. It was a game where a young Michael Owen announced himself on the big stage.
Beckham now to Owen, and here's another Owen run. He's going to worry them again. It's a great run by Michael Owen, and he might finish it off. Oh, it's a wonderful goal! What a
fantastic goal. However, yet again, the battle between the two sides would be remembered for a moment of controversy. Just 2 minutes into the second half, David Beckham's lash out at Diego Simeone gave the referee no option and reduced England to 10 men. England lost on penalties, and David Beckham was blamed by his manager and the British press and a large amount of the English public. But Beckham and England didn't have to wait long for revenge. Just 4 years later, at the 2002 World Cup in South Korea and Japan, the two were drawn together again, this time at the group stage. And now, captain David Beckham stood up to be counted, scoring a penalty and the only goal of the game to help England qualify for the knockout stages. Although there have been few opportunities since, the rivalry continues between the two sides and, to some extent, the two countries, but possibly more for Argentina than England. In 2014, the Argentine national side were fined by FIFA for displaying a banner before a friendly. The banner read, "Las Malvinas son Argentinas," which translates as, "The Falklands are Argentine." Whenever these two international sides meet, there is always drama, excitement, and controversy in equal measure. And with a World Cup due next summer, there could be a new chapter written very soon.
Another award-winning piece of work there, Neil. Well done, mate. Love it.
Thank you, mate.
Well, look, yeah, strange footballing rivalries, they don't come much stranger than that because yeah. I think, do you know what? Here's the truth, right? I don't believe that maybe the newer generation know too much about this. I think this is very much a... as you said beforehand, in your 40s and 50s and so on, yeah. I think... even for me, I've got the memories of David Beckham kicking Diego Simeone yeah. and Michael Owen's iconic goal yeah. and Argentina winning on penalties and all of that kind of stuff. I remember the 98 thing. I remember the 2002 thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Where we got our revenge with that 1-0 thanks to that Beckham penalty. And exactly. He kind of got his, well, I guess redemption.
It was definitely that, yeah. As I said in the piece, I think it was his arc, wasn't it, really, from the 98 where he was everyone's enemy, number one, to that sort of sudden redemption at the 2002. I mean, it ultimately didn't mean a lot.
No.
At the end of the day. But yeah, I think you're right, though. I think for people of a certain age, for me growing up, so my first really memory of a World Cup was 1986, Mexico 86. So for me, having the World Cup where Maradona does those two things in the same game, it was such a strange feeling of, you know, that's against my, you know, got to think I was, what was I, 10 years old, 9 years old, something like that. Seeing England get to the quarterfinals and then lose to a cheat, to a simple, you know, no other word for it, a cheat.
I mean, that's what it is.
And all of that happened, it builds you up with a real sort of hatred of that team and those cheats that you've witnessed as a child. And then you get to sort of 1990 and move on, and then you get to 98 and it happens again, really. Not cheating, but still you feel a bit hard done by because of what happened with Beckham. And
well, I mean, he flung that leg up, yeah, didn't exactly. he? But Simeone went down like a sack of spuds.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, yeah, it was like improper play and simulation. And then obviously it had to be Beckham because of all the media attention that he had as well. Felt like the referee kind of had it a bit in for him.
Yeah, and it just meant more because of the Falklands War, because of that political sort of landscape around things at that time in the 80s and 90s. It was just a real hatred between the two countries on the sporting pitch, yes, but also a little bit politically as well. And I do think it probably still resonates with Argentina fans more than it does with us now. I think we've moved on a little bit, but certainly for Argentina, it's still there. So with the World Cup coming up, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Each era has brought new villains and new stars, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, and new moments and highlight reels, I guess, throughout it all. Maradona, Batistuta, Veron, Messi, you know, and then you've got to go all the way back to the Linekers, Beckham, Owen, Rooney, all of them players have kind of had a part to play in this. I feel like something else has got to happen in the next one for it to continue, potentially.
Yeah.
Obviously, it might dwindle out.
Yeah.
But yeah, another good one, Neil. Well done, mate.
Oh, you're welcome. I think it's time. I think we should go through the rumour mill that we always do every week. Is there anything new you want to talk about, Andy, from a Palace perspective on transfer rumours?
Well, look, we've covered quite a bit of it, talking about some of the other bits and pieces. There's obviously, you know, the Gehi, the Eze, the all the other bits and pieces are still floating around. But what I personally have learned this week is that reasonable sources are basically saying that whilst all this is going on and all this media attention is on all of these players, there actually hasn't been a single bid.
Right.
Okay. Right. So it is all transfer speculation. And just because, and you know as well as I do, right, just because there hasn't been a bid, it doesn't mean a player hasn't had a conversation or terms haven't been discussed and all the other bits and pieces.
Yeah, there's no smoke without fire, mate. I mean, the fact that there's so much talk about Eze, so much talk about Gehi, that we know there's going to be something going on at some point during this transfer window. I suppose, has there been any... So there's been no real major developments this week then, from your understanding?
No, I think we're still just waiting, mate. That is basically where we're at.
Fair enough.
And with Steve Parish saying, yes, there might be a couple of exits, I think we all know that they're probably the two that might happen. But also, we don't have to sell Eze. We don't have to sell Eze.
Yeah.
We want 68 million. And I think this is why there hasn't actually been a bid yet. And I think a lot of the clubs that have been interested are spending money elsewhere at the moment.
Yes, so, there's a lot of business going on, isn't there?
Yeah. So let's see. I think the only other, well, the, one of them that's come in the last few days is interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We did mention it last week because I don't know if you remember, there's the YouTuber and TikToker interviewed Adam Wharton hope to see you in the shirt soon.
Has there been some more leaks then?
In the last couple of days, there's been a little bit of momentum about Adam Wharton. He's been linked to quite a few clubs, namely Liverpool and Barcelona.
Wow.
Because let's be honest.
That's a step up.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is, whether you're a Palace fan or not, right, you know that kid's got talent. He's got a big future ahead of him. He's earmarked for big things just because of his intelligence and the way he plays. He's a game changer.
No, I totally agree. He's got a huge amount of potential, but I don't know whether now's the right time for a step up like that, do you?
Well, I don't think he thinks now is the right time either. So the club have put £100 million price tag on him, apparently, and he's come out this week and said that he wants to stay for at least another year.
Makes sense.
And he's fighting for an England spot at the moment, right? Yeah. He didn't get to go on the last tour.
But that's another thing though, isn't it? You've got the World Cup next summer. You sometimes not moving and staying where you are and getting regular football is probably a good place to be so that you can try and get into that squad. Sometimes changing teams and squads or countries could be a bit of a problem for people to fit in.
And gone are the days where playing for a team like Palace or Brighton hindered you in your international teams. I mean, like, we've got more than most clubs in the England setup right now. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's Adam Wharton. We mentioned Rob Holding earlier, a player that most Palace fans probably have forgotten about because we signed him from Arsenal, thought that we might be able to get him back to his glory days of Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then he ended up going out on loan last year. It was a deadline day loan that he went out.
Right, yeah.
Because he clearly didn't fit in the plans. I think there was a bust up. Pretty sure that he ended up training with the under-21s. He got exiled.
Oh, okay. Blimey.
And the rumours are now that he's meant to be on his way to a Saudi club. I'd be very surprised if he's still at the club at the end of this transfer window.
Yeah, sounds like it.
That would be a failure from our part because rumour has it he's on quite a bit of money.
Yeah, that sounds pretty much like he's on his way somewhere. Just have to keep an eye on where it is going to be.
Yeah, and the other player that a lot of people have forgotten about is Edouard as well. He's now back. Obviously, he played in the Millwall game the other day. I would be very surprised if he doesn't go out somewhere.
Is there any rumours for him yet?
He was linked with Celtic, his old club,
right?
And also a couple of other teams as well. It looks like the Celtic rumour might have kind of quashed now, but rumours has it that Neil, you might know more than this from your scouting days. So, you know, when we say he's been put on the transfer list?
Yeah.
Is there like on Football Manager where there's like a separate page?
Transfer listed means that there are. So, I mean, it's a bit old fashioned. There used to be an actual list, but nowadays, there's a player database that clubs can go to. I mean, the Premier League probably works it a bit different, but generally speaking, there are databases held by the FA and by clubs all play into that can say that this particular, especially with younger players, they're loan listed. So they're listed for other clubs to go and have a look, and more details are shared because they're loan listed. So you can actually look at player stats and other things and all that sort of stuff.
So there is actually like, there's something that people click on, which is the list of players that are available. Because I've always wondered that.
Yeah. So in older days, 100% there used to be. Mm. Nowadays, I'm imagining it's slightly different, but still, the concept is there that if you're loan listed or transfer listed, there is a clear indication from the club that you can be looked upon as someone that another club can talk to and can see. So, there has to be a way of notifying other clubs about that.
Yeah, interesting. Well, there we go then. Well, I think Edouard and probably Rob Holding are on that list. No new ins, all previously talked about last week, really.
Fair enough.
So I think that's pretty much where we're at. What about you, Neil? This could go on a while.
No. Very simple for me. I've mentioned Evan Ferguson already. I put that straight up in the first one because I just think it's going to happen in the next couple of days, if not by the end of the week. So that's that. But the other one that's still rumbling on, but we had a little bit more information this week, was Purvis Estupiñan. It looks like AC Milan are taking control of this situation now. They are in direct talks, my understanding is, with Brighton on a proposed move. The only difference, obviously, between the two clubs is, as always, the evaluation of the player, which, if gossip is to be believed, then AC Milan have come in with something like 10 to 12 euros, 10 to 12 million euros. 10 to 12 euros would be very low. 10 to 12 million euros, and Brighton are probably looking at something like 20-odd million euros. So it sounds like, they're going to try and get something in between those.
Do you think he's worth 20?
We bought him for £17 million.
What you bought him for is irrelevant, though.
No, but I'm saying we bought him for £17 million. Brighton generally try to at least get their money back, and they don't need to sell him. So I would expect them to be probably looking for a couple of other clubs to be interested to bump that price up before they sell him. But at the same time, if the player wants to go, then maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised if we end up selling him for something like 17 million euros instead or something like that and yeah. lose a tiny bit, but we'll see. He's been a good servant to the club. It'd be a shame if he does go, but at the same time, we're the type of club that lets people go when they want to go. So off you pop.
Well, that's it for another episode of Seagull Eagle. And yes, it was as chaotic as trying to park near Selhurst Park.
Don't forget to follow us on the socials for more of the online abuse that we know you've been wanting to throw our way. We're on X, Facebook, TikTok, and even YouTube for those who like their nonsense in video form.
We'll be back next week to find out if Gary ever made it out of that Brighton training camp and whether anything, yes, anything, is ever going to happen at Palace.
Until then, Seagulls!
Eagles!